Okay, we're going to pick up the study here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14. Now, 2 Chronicles 14 deals with the reign of Asa, A-S-A, the son of Abijah. Abijah just died in the last chapter, chapter 13. Now, Asa comes to the throne, and Asa's reign will be mentioned in chapter 14, 15, and 16. There's three chapters covering this fellow. Now, a couple things. I want to give you about five things about Asa here that we need to mention. Asa is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 15 and 16. The parallel to this would be 1 Kings 15 and 16. That's number one. Number two, Asa is a good king. Number three, Asa reigns 41 years. He has a fairly long reign. He reigns 41 years. 1 Kings 15:10. 2 Chronicles 16:13. Number four, his mother, actually his grandmother, mentioned here in Scripture. I didn't write her name down, but I've got the reference here. 15:16. Her name is M-A-A-C-H-A. Maacah. Okay? I guess that's Maacah. M-A-A-C-H-A-H. You'll find her in 2 Chronicles 15:16, also 1 Kings 15:10-2. 1 Kings 15:10-2. Now the reason I gave it to you with the 10 first and the 2 second there in 1 Kings is because when you look at it that way, it'll explain who she is. 1 Kings 15:10 says, "And 41 years reigned he," talking about Asa, "in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom." Well, if you go up in verse 2, it talks about Abijam, who is Abijah, the king's father, Asa's father. And it says that his mother's name was Maacah, the son of Absalom. What it is she's still alive, and she's considered his mother. In the Bible, the word mother and father, son, and those type of things do not always mean direct. Your son directly, but maybe a descendant. In this case, it's a grandmother. They called Jesus the son of David. Although he wasn't directly the son of David, the lineage went back some... From the captivity to Jesus was 14. And from David to captivity was 14. So it's 28 generations back from Jesus to David. So, and he was called the son of David. So the word can be used loosely in the Bible, where this would mean she is his grandmother, actually. And you know that by doing some cross-reference in your Bible. Okay, so let's see, number five. Asa's reign runs through 8 kings of Israel. Okay, he reigns for 41 years, and during his reign of 41 years, I'll write these on the overhead. His reign lasts the reign of 8 kings in Israel, and the kings in Israel that are contemporaries with him, number one is Jeroboam, who was the wicked king up there, caused Israel to sin. And the first king in Israel, then Nadab, N-A-D-A-B, was the next king, short reign. Then Baasha, B-A-A-S-H-A. Then the next one was Elah, E-L-A-H. The next king, Zimri, Z-I-M-R-I. The next king, Tibni, T-I-B-N-I. The next king, Omri, O-M-R-I. And then the last one, Ahab. You all probably know Ahab better than any of the other ones. But Asa's reign lasted through all those kings. I mean, you can probably just imagine the phone call. Oh, is she still on the line? Okay. You didn't do the dishes, did you, Keith, before you left? Oh, was that on tape? Okay. All right. So, here Asa reigns through the eight kings in the north. And you can probably imagine the Jerusalem Post, you know, every once in a while says, well, there's another king reigning in Israel now, you know, because during his reign, eight kings reigned. You're talking eight kings in 41 years. That's a turnover, every 5 years, just about. So those guys didn't last too long up there in Israel. And Asa did. He was a good king. Okay, now let's go ahead in chapter 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and he was buried, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa's son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, and he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images and cut down the groves. Well, St. Luke's would hate to hear about that. And so would Immaculate Conception. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and commandments. See that? Do what's right. Knock those other things down. Also, he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Now, there's some good stuff here. First of all, Asa had 10 years of a quiet reign when he started out. See, he went a lot farther than Rehoboam had 3 years, and Abijah had 3 years. Now Asa gets the throne, and he has a 10-year reign before something happens. And Asa's a good king, verse number 2. Now, the reason being he's a good king and had a quiet reign was verse 3. Asa gets rid of all the idolatry, and he gets rid of the queers and the sodomites. See, where's that? Well, 1 Kings 15:12. Kicked Rock Hudson out. Jim Neighbor. Michael Jackson. Boy George. And every other rock and roll group going. Got rid of all them. Got rid of the mayor or the governor of California. Amen. All those queer lovers. Got rid of the sodomites. 1 Kings 15:11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now see, it's right in the eyes of the Lord to get rid of sodomites. Amen. As David his father. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers made. See, idolatry and sodomy is in the same context. Amen. Well, you know what Catholic priests are up to. Yeah, amen. Okay. Hey, the church doesn't let them marry, right? So, well, you know, that's real deep, and that's maybe hard for some Christians to take, but I'm telling you, the Bible says that these people did that. And it was connected with a religious people, and they were called sodomites. They probably wore black robes with white band-aids on their throat. Huh? Hey, what? Oh, faggot in the Greek, yeah. Yeah, amen. Sodomites. See, America's been so bombarded with homosexuality being an alternate lifestyle that they've become to accept this thing. Well, God doesn't accept it. I don't accept it. And any Christian that believes the Bible doesn't accept it. It's wickedness against God, and it's good in God's eyes to get rid of the sodomites. Amen. You saying you should go out and shoot all the queers and roll them? Well, let's tell them about the Lord first. None of that don't work, shoot them. No, I'm telling you, really, their only help is the Lord, you know. That's true, but, I mean, we're under grace now. See, in that Old Testament, though, that wasn't the way it was. They took them out and killed them. And so those sodomites better be glad they're under grace now, or else they'd be having rock concerts and they'd be the star of the show, amen? And they'd be getting rocked to death. Amen. Well, I just don't like sodomites and queers, amen? Just hate them. They're wicked. They're ungodly. And Asa knew that, and he removed them out of the way. You know, you just got to say something about this every once in a while, because the news media pumps out like it's okay. You know, send money for Rock Hudson. Hey, flip on Rock Hudson. That bum, that queer. I don't care about him. He deserved what he got. You say, oh, don't you care about... Hey, look, he rejected the love of God, and he's paying for it right now. He's burning in hell. And I don't care if Pat Boone's wife comes in and prays and tries to raise him from the dead. She ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. And President Reagan saying, God bless Rock Hudson. Well, God damned Rock Hudson. Yeah. Amen. That's what he did. Amen. Let's hear the truth now. Amen. Ronnie's just a politician, and he has to play the game. I don't have to play the game. I know what's right and what's true, and people like Rock Hudson go to hell. And so Asa kicked out all the Sodomites. Yeah, I mean, I just get stirred up about that. And I'm going to waste all this tape, you know. But some Christians, they got it in their head, you know, by this stinking media that we have, that there might not be nothing wrong with that stuff. You know, well, if they want to do it, it's okay. No, it's not okay. God never says sin's okay. He never puts up with it. And He'll bring judgment on it. That's why they're all getting aged now and dropping off like flies. Amen. Hope they all die. All right. You say, that's pretty bad. Hey, I don't want that stuff getting in my kids or anybody else. You know, they infect other people with that stuff. It'd be good if they all just dropped dead and we just scooped them off in some pile and burned them all. Yeah, amen, brother. Yeah, well, okay. Somebody ain't amening. You're just wondering. But I'm telling you, that's wicked. It's wicked. And we'll see in Judgment Day how much God appreciates it when He kicks them off in hell. Okay. Well, so much for the queer society. Okay. And the land was quiet in those days. Why? Because he got rid of the idolatry and the Sodomites. And he was a good king. And he commanded the people to seek the Lord. Verse 4. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. So he was a good king. He said, look, we're going to do what the law says. And this king got up and said that. Man, that's good. That'd be good if we had a leader who says, we're going to do what the Bible says. Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But we don't have leaders like that. We don't have leaders like that. Yeah, that's right. They'd be dead the first day if they tried that. Some queer shooting. That's right. Amen. Verse 5, and he took away all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So, kingdom was quiet. You write down Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so the people rejoicing because Asa was a good king, and they had peace and quiet. Verse 6. Let's see. Verse 6 says, and he built fenced cities in Judah, and the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. So here, again, Proverbs 16:7, the Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And, you know, you can have peace with people and just by serving the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And we'll see that even in Asa's life, following the commandments, war still came. Okay? So just because you're living a good Christian life doesn't mean you're not going to have conflict. But God will give you peace with a lot of enemies because you live in the way you do. Let's see. Verse 7. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build the cities and make them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now Asa, what he probably does is go back and rebuilds a lot of those cities that Shishak came up and destroyed under Rehoboam's reign. And the cities will probably be the ones mentioned in 2 Chronicles 11:5-10, which I've given you before. And then verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So you see that the army has increased since the days of Abijah. He has 300,000 men of Judah, 280,000 men of Benjamin. That's a total of 580,000 men. That's an increase of 180,000 men over the army that Abijah had in 2 Chronicles 13:3. 2 Chronicles 13:3, Abijah had 400,000 men, and now Asa has 580,000 men. Verse 9. See now, after all that, and there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,300 chariots, and came to Merisha, and Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Ziphrath at Merisha. Let's see, I think I'll stop there for a second. Okay, now this fellow named Zariah the Ethiopian, this is the only time this fellow is mentioned in Scripture. Zariah the Ethiopian, only time he's found in Scripture. And this fellow comes up with an army of 1,000,000 people. 1,000,000 people. 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. See, 100,000 would be 100,000, so 1,000,000 would be 1,000,000. They just didn't have the word million, so they couldn't write that down. But 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. And 300 chariots, he comes up there to fight. Now, that'd be a host of people. That would be a great army. And that's almost 2-to-1 odds again. It's actually, 1.72 to 1. But almost 2-to-1 odds here that Asa has against Zerah. All you mathematicians liked that one, didn't you? Okay, verse 10. Asa goes out against him to fight. And then verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Now that's good. Again, Asa does what's right. And said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. He knew it was a lot of people. O Lord, thou art God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa here trusts in the Lord. You can write down Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Of course, he puts his trust in the Lord this time, and the Lord delivers him. And he says, Lord, you can help, with many or with them that have no power, or with few, that is. And of course, the Lord could do that. You can write down Judges 7:7. Judges 7:7, there God uses Gideon's army of 300 men to defeat the Midianites, and a great battle victory was won there. And then also you can write down Leviticus 26:8. Leviticus 26:8, God gives a prophecy to that Jew that if he does right, they'll be mighty fighters and warriors. Leviticus 26:8, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. See, God gave Israel that promise. I mean, can you imagine that? Five Jews chasing 100? Well, man, there were several of them, Samson and a couple others, well-known, unknown guys there in the book of Judges that fought against 300 to 800 Philistines at a time, one man. So you believe that happened? Yeah, I believe it happened. And just like the Jews over there in that six-day war, I heard a story of a guy, a young Jewish boy. I don't even know what rank he was. His name was Augie. And they had the who attacked him? The Assyrians? Was that in the six-day war? Then the Assyrians attacked him? Egypt? The Egyptians. Yeah, the Egyptians attacked him. And they did it right around one of the Jewish holidays because they knew that most of the front lines, no Jews would be there. They'd be back celebrating the holiday. And so this young fella in the army, he heard that the Egyptians were attacking. And he got in his car, commandeered a truck, and drove all the way back to the lines because he knew nobody was down there. It was just a few people. And the Egyptians were coming. And this fella got in a tank, and he fought like for a day straight in just jumping from a tank, and the Egyptians would blow that one up, and he'd get in another one, and he'd drive it up over these hills and take a couple pot shots, and he'd drop back it down, drive over and come up another hill and take some pot shots. And the Egyptians thought, man, there must be about 50 guys up there. And it was one young Jewish boy firing as all he could and all he could do, and he held back an army of Egyptians in that six-day war. Now, that's documented fact. But see, it was a promise from God that, I'm going to protect you. And five of you will put 100 to flight. And so he used the old Augie, and he called it the Augie Brigade, went up there and fought against those Egyptians and won the battle that day. I mean, those Egyptians could have just mowed right on through, but they thought, wait. And he was making so much dust going back and forth to that tank, they thought it was a big army back there just waiting for him. And they didn't come through, and he held them off until reinforcements could come. But I'll tell you what, now that fellow was a soldier. And the Lord really, really blessed him. And, of course, the Lord blesses the Jews all through, the Bible many times when they're doing right, when they're seeking Him. Of course, the Lord's going to start dealing with that Jew again. Okay. Also, the Lord delivered Hezekiah from Sennacherib's army. 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah goes up to the temple and prays and asks God to deliver, and God sends out the angel of the Lord and smote 185,000 of Sennacherib's army that night. That's pretty good fight there. Verse 12, 2 Chronicles 14:12. So the Lord smote the Egyptians, or Ethiopians, before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before His host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there were exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Now Israel here gains a tremendous amount of wealth and spoil from the battle. And you'll know that Israel was doing right and living right, yet God sent the enemy against them. Even though their ways please the Lord, sometimes the Lord will still send an enemy against you. And He did that, why? That He might deliver the enemy into their hands and give them much spoil and much wealth. And when you come to fight against an enemy in your Christian life, when the Lord brings it against you, don't look at it as something to retreat from, but something to gain from. Something to gain some territory from. Something to gain some spoil from. To spoil the enemy, you know, don't let him spoil you. You take some ground from the enemy. And that's what you need to do. You know, too many times we get this idea of, hold the fort. Brother, attack. Attack. Go out and get them, amen? And let the Lord lead you out there. If the Lord leads you, attack. Man, attack them. Okay, that's about all I have on that. They got a whole lot of wealth and spoil out of that. The Lord brought upon them. Now, chapter 15. I want to get through this. We'll finish this chapter tonight, and then that'll be it for tonight. We don't have too much left on. Okay. 2 Chronicles 15. Endure to the end, brethren. And you might get past the class. Okay. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, okay, now I want to stop in verse 1, make some comments here before I get into the speech that Azariah made. Number one, Azariah is the fellow who the Spirit of the Lord comes upon. Now, I wrote down this fellow, Oded. He was a prophet. And you know, I might have looked up the wrong guy's name. Let me see here. Okay, I'll give you some references where Oded is found. He's found in 2 Chronicles 15:1-8. And he's also found in 2 Chronicles 28:9. But it's not the same fellow there. Okay, that's a different person, different Oded. Those two references, not referring to the same fella, not referring to the same guy. The one in 2 Chronicles 15:1-8 is the same person. And that's Azariah's dad. But they're two different men because the time period between those two references is about 170 years, so it couldn't be the same fella. Now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And now let me give you some. I want to give you seven people in the Bible whom the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Now there's more than this, but I'll just give you these. That's Old Testament references now, okay? Okay, the first one is Azariah here in this passage. Number one, you have Azariah. And that's 2 Chronicles 15:1. Number two, these are people that it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Okay? Othniel. Does anybody know who Othniel is? Yeah, he was Gideon's brother. Gideon's brother, Judges 3:10. And Gideon... Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges 6:34. Jephthah. Spirit of the Lord came upon him in Judges 11:29. Samson, number 5. Judges 13:25. Number 6, Saul, King Saul. 1 Samuel 10:10. Number 7, David. 1 Samuel 16:13. Those are some fellows in the Bible who, where it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Now, Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, they were, and Samson, they were judges. Saul and David were kings. Azariah was a prophet. And many of the prophets, I didn't list any of the prophets, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon them also. When the Lord wanted to do something in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon those men and they performed a service or some kind of thing for the Lord's cause. And in this case, Azariah is raised up to bring a message to Asa. In the Old Testament, now the Old Testament, Holy Spirit would come upon men, even in them, but not as a permanent abider. Okay? He'd come upon them for a certain work and purpose. He would not become a permanent abider until the New Testament. And then the new birth is available. And here's some verses on where the Holy Spirit's a permanent abider. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, Hebrews 13:5, and John 14:16. Talking about the Holy Spirit being a permanent abider. Now, that's only in the New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:3. Okay, verse 2 says, "And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. Why ye be with him? And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Okay, it starts out real good. It says the Lord's with you. As long as you're with the Lord, he'll be with you. Remember, that's an Old Testament situation, okay? You know, you say, well, you said that the Lord would never leave you. Well, that's a New Testament situation. In the Old Testament, the Lord would leave him and would forsake him. He won't do that to a Christian. Now, write down Deuteronomy 27:12-13. In Deuteronomy 27:12-13, there you have two mountains. One's called Mount Gerizim, G-E-R-I-Z-I-M. Gerizim, that's it. Mount Gerizim. And Mount Ebal. Mount Gerizim is the Mount of Blessing, and Mount Ebal is the Mount of Cursing. Ebal just sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? But that was the two mountains that Moses had six of the tribes get on one mount, six of the tribes get on the other, and then they pronounced these blessings and these cursings. And you'll find those if you read Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, 29, and 30. I'm not going to go through them, I just want to give you the references. But in Deuteronomy 27, 28, 29, 30, it talks about blessing, cursing, life or death. You know, if you follow the Lord, he gave him that choice. He said, you want blessing in life, do this. If you want cursing and death, do that. Verse number 3. Now for a long time Israel hath been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Well, I'll tell you, that's a good verse right there. That would be a good verse to preach from. He says, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. That's a good verse right there. See, three things of importance in the passage. Number 1, the true God. Number 1, the true God. And you'll find references to that true God in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Told that to the Thessalonians. And also 1 John 5:20. It says that Jesus Christ is the true and living God. Number two, teaching priest. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, talks about there a bishop must be apt to teach. Okay, must be apt to teach. And also Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul says, I shun not to declare the whole counsel of God unto you. So that's the job of a preacher. And then the law. So the true God, teaching priest, and the law. Now the law, you can write down 2 Timothy, we'll refer to it as the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration. And if you don't know what the law is, or what the book says, then you're in darkness. And without the true God, without somebody to teach and guide you, and without the book, you know, you're in darkness. And he says, now for a long time Israel hath been without the true God, without teaching priests, without law. So there'd been a period of time there where, you know, Abijah, his daddy, and Rehoboam, their reigns kind of went bad. Things weren't going just right. And so this prophet comes out and tells him this. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of some other kings down in verse 8 and 9 that refer back to this passage here. And I'll get to those in just a minute. But verse 4 says, but when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought Him, He was found of them. And of course, here they turned to God, and God honored the prayer that Solomon made. See, what I'm going to refer to here is Solomon made a prayer at the dedication of the temple. You all remember that? That big long prayer back there in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 34 and 35, he made a petition in his prayer that if an enemy would come up against Israel, that they would be delivered if they turned to God, see? So 2 Chronicles 6, 34 and 35 is where, you know, they would deal with this passage when they turned to the Lord and sought Him, and He was found of them. And in those, then he says, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all their adversaries. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hand be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, verse 5 and verse 6... to me, it was a little difficult, and I'm not sure if I've got the whole gist of what those two verses mean. He says, in those times. Now, I'm not sure what times he's talking about. Is he talking about the times when there wasn't a teaching priest and the true God? There was no peace to him that went in and out? That would refer to Israel if it was that way. Or is it in reference to when they turned to God and sought Him, is it in reference to their enemies? In those times there was no peace to him, that it would be their enemies, that went and went out, nor him that, you know, came in or went out. But great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Now the only reason I think it might be that, well, I can't say for sure. The inhabitants of the countries. Because I noticed another verse. There's a verse earlier here in Chronicles, and the word countries, and I just noticed it tonight as we was going through it, had reference to Israel. Yeah, that might be. Well, verse 5 and verse 6, to me, you know, is kind of... I can't say I've got it figured out completely, who he's talking about, who had the great vexation. To me, huh?
Can it go with verse 3?
Yeah, see, if it goes with verse 3, then it would be talking about Israel. You know, it would be talking about Israel. But I don't know if it's talking about that part, or after they got right, and then it'd be talking about the enemies. And it might be talking about Israel. Yeah, it could be a contrast too. But there was a...
Verse 3 to verse 5 or verse 9.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's just hard to figure it out. You know, what's going on.
Yeah, like verse 3 would have to be turned and verse 5 would be before it. At another time.
I think it's talking about the enemies.
That's what I thought, because it talks about those inhabitants of the country. But I noticed a verse when I was just going through here earlier in the other hour, teaching in Chronicles, that it had the word countries. And it was in reference to Israel. Because see here in 15 verse 5, it says the inhabitants of the countries. The countries. Now there was a verse in, I think it was chapter 13. See if somebody can find it real quick. It talks about the countries. Verse 9.
Other lands.
Other lands. Nations of other lands. No. Okay, now we found the verse on the countries. It's in 2 Chronicles 11:23, talking about where Rehoboam distributed his children throughout the countries of Judah and Benjamin. But seems to indicate that what is talked about here in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5 and 6, the inhabitants of the countries, because it says verse 6, and nation was destroyed, a nation, referring to nations. I'm not sure. Just a rough two verses. I just couldn't figure them out. Because you notice it doesn't say nations. It says nation was destroyed of nation. Like the nation was against itself. Yeah, Israel against Judah. Yeah, he fought against Jeroboam. And he wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. I'm not sure. I'm just going to kind of leave it alone right now. But 2 Chronicles. You can? Nation against nation? Yeah. You could say that, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That was by Steve Brogdon. Well, okay, let's go on. That's a tough one right there. But he's talking about they had no peace. These people didn't have any peace. They had great vexation. Why? Because they weren't doing what the Lord told them. At least we got that much out of the passage. Verse 7, he says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And of course, Christians told to be strong in the Lord and power of His might, Ephesians 6:10. And your work will be rewarded. You know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you're going to be rewarded for it someday. You may not get it down here, but you get on the glory side, and that's what counts. Amen? Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words, the prophecies of Obed the prophet, see, the Spirit God came upon. Now, the Spirit, see, this is the prophecy. Look, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. Came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And when Asa heard the words of the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, It's like the dad told the son what to say. Or something. Because look at that. It says, verse 1, the Spirit came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And then verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. So those two, the father and son, must have worked very closely to there being those two prophets. Because that had me confused when I studied this thing. Because when I had verse 1 down, I thought Oded was talking, you know. But it says his son, and then in verse 8 it says Oded. Yeah, I heard him. It's a tag team here, you know. Oh, boy. A little humor for class there, I guess. Wake some of the folks up. It's getting late, yeah. Yeah, we're almost done here. Okay. So, Oded is speaking here and makes a prophecy. He said, take courage, put away the abominable idols from out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Ephraim, and renew the altar of the Lord that is before the porch of the Lord. Okay, now, what's good here about verse 8 is when you speak encouraging words, usually it'll encourage the brethren. You know, if you have some encouraging words to say, it'll usually encourage others. And that's why it's not good to, you know, speak doubtful disputations, you know, and things like that, where you'll make people, you know... Yeah, right, like verses 5 and 6, we'll leave that one on and go ahead, you know. I don't profess to know everything in this book, amen. I mean, I just give you what God gives me, and I'm going to go on. I mean, I know God's a lot smarter than me, and He wrote this book. I'm not smarter than God, and I'm not going to change it. And I'm not going to try and say I know something that I don't. I have a lot to learn, but here you see that when encouraging words are spoken, it does help strengthen the brethren, verse 8. And not only that, Judah has a revival here under Asa. Number one, encouraging words strengthen the brethren. Number one, encouraging words strengthen the brethren. Number two, Judah had a revival under Asa. Judah had a revival under Asa. Number three, I want to give you a revival under other kings. Now, this is the verse I was telling you I was going to refer to from verse 3 about that true God, the teaching priest, and the law. And this is the third one, revival under other kings. Letter A under this point. There was a revival under Josiah, J-O-S-I-A-H, Josiah. Why? Because they found the word of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, you want to read an exciting story, an exciting time when people got right. Read 2 Kings 22, 8 to 11. Well, that's where they found the book of the law, but really the whole chapter, 2 Kings 22, 8 to 11. And also 2 Kings 23, 1 to 28. It tells about the revival that they had. Man, Josiah found out that book of law. See, he didn't have the law. He didn't have a teaching priest. And they were just in apostasy. They were just worshiping idols. When he found the law, he repented, rent his clothes, and then, man, he got rid of everything. Man, there's a list. I have a list back there in Kings that I had written down that there was about like 20-some things that he did that revamped Israel and Jerusalem because he got the book of the law. And number B, or letter B, under revival of other kings. There was a revival under Josiah, which was because of a priest, named Jehoiada. And you'll find that in 2 Kings 12:2, 2 Kings 12:2, and 2 Kings chapter 11, the whole chapter. There was a priest named Jehoiada, and that fellow was a teaching priest, and he got the people going right, and they had a revival as long as that priest was under there doing right. Then after that priest died, they kind of fell away. See, so you need to serve the true God, have a teaching priest, and have the law. So you need to know God, need a pastor, and you need to know the book. Joash was in 2 Kings 22. The one in 2 Kings 12 was Jehoash. J-E-H-O-A-S-H. Yeah, it's probably not. That might be. It should be on that one. Of course, they might have spelled it different on that list there, because there's different spellings of these kings' names. Okay? Yeah, just write down 2 Kings 12, 2 and 2 Kings 11. You'll find it in there. Okay, verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strengthened and the stranger with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now this is something that I really never knew before until I started studying through here. And in verse 9, you'll notice that some of the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon fall to Asa. See, he only had two tribes. He had Benjamin and Judah. But after this thing here, the God's with him, and the people saw that, then some of Ephraim, some Manasseh, and some of Simeon comes down there and comes to him and dwells in the land. So he's starting to get some of the kingdom back. But of course, like I said, it never did get back fully united, and never will till Jesus Christ sits upon the throne. It could be. Could be why Simeon got down in there or was noticed down in there. I don't know. But see, that during the land grant, they were given the far section down there. Maybe that's why they came back too, since their land grant was in there. I don't know. But here is a reference to them coming to him, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. So he has, and I don't know if all those the whole tribe came to him, but I imagine a major portion of the tribe came to him, because it says they came to him in Israel in abundance. And enough of them came from each tribe that the Holy Spirit put down the names of those tribes. So he probably had about five tribes with him then. You know, Benjamin, Judah, and these other three here. But as things go on, I'm sure they went back. Verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of Asa's reign. Tells when they got together there. And then verse 11, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And of course they just came, and a lot of times Israel did that to sacrifice things to the Lord. And this just gives the number of the oxen and the sheep that they sacrificed here. Verse 12, and they entered into to a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their souls. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and shouting and with trumpets, amen, and cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. You know, that'll be a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ right there, boy. When Jesus Christ shows up, and there's shouting, trumpets, and they sought him with their heart, that'll be a type of that. I mean, can't you imagine America doing that? Wouldn't that be great? Man. You know, that'd be great if America would do that. Come back to God like that. Seek him with the whole heart. And kill all the queers. Amen. And seek God. I mean, it says turn them all away, man. Turn them all away. And whatsoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Well, they're going to get them to seek him. Now here, in these verses here, Judah enters into a covenant to follow the Lord. And whoever doesn't follow him, they're not going to mess around with him. They're going to kill him. Now it's like, you know, do you want to be a Christian or not? No. Well then, you know, we're going to kill you. Well, that's not how it works now. We're under grace, see. But under the Old Testament covenant there with those Jews, they said, hey, you going to live for the Lord? Nah. Too bad, bud. We're going to kill you. You know, they were going to kill them. Didn't matter whether they were small or great. Brother, I'll tell you what. If that thing ever got a hold of them, people start serving the Lord. They really would. Really would. And so they entered in that covenant and they all got going for the Lord there and had a revival. Verse 16. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa the king, remember that's his grandmother, gave you those references, but the Bible uses the term mother and those things interchangeably. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. Probably said queen of heaven or Mary on it or something like that. And Asa cut down her idol. Oh, isn't that too bad? Cut her idol down and stamped it, brother. I mean, he just had him a little fit, boy. Cut it down and stamped it and break it at the brook Kidron. And the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Brother, he just had him a fit, an idol smashing time. It wasn't an idle time, you know. He didn't spend his time idly or whatever. But he, yeah, you'll get that one. Yeah, you get that one. But Asa was a wise king here. Why? Because he chose to follow God rather than family. You know, well, my grandma, huh? He said, Granny, shut up. Where's that idol? I'm going to go out and stomp on it. And he went out there and got that thing and stomped it up and took it down the brook Kidron there. Write down Luke 14:26. Jesus says, if you hate not father and mother, you're not worthy of me. And Deuteronomy 13, verse 6 to 9. Deuteronomy 13:6-9. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine, as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, even the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of the people. The law was back there, if some guy comes up and says, hey, Oral Roberts just said that there's this guy over here we need to worship, you know. They'd just take that guy and kill him right now. And the first guy you told it to was supposed to, you know, kill you. And, of course, Asa follows the command to a certain degree where he takes his mother, grandmother off the throne and removes her from being queen. He said, that's it. You're not queening it no more. Took her off the throne and went out and got the old hammer and went out and beat the Mary statue all to pieces. And or whatever else, you know, whatever other one they had. The demons or the devils with wings out in the garden, huh? Probably should have, according to Deuteronomy. Doesn't say here whether he did or not. Just says he removed her from being king, queen. Yeah, probably should have. So I don't know. It doesn't say whether he did or not. But he definitely had enough character to follow God to move her out of the way and not care for her little religion. You know? And he went down at the brook Kidron. Now, the brook Kidron's right there in Jerusalem, runs right beside on the east side of Jerusalem. So this thing was right there in Jerusalem. He just took it down there and smashed it up. But he didn't take away the high places in Israel. That was, they had places up in the hills and places they'd go, you know, like the missionaries show us on the slides when they come back. You know, there's a little trail along the, got candles burning, you know, and St. Nicholas statue in there and all that stuff. He didn't take the high places down, but yet his heart was perfect in following the Lord. I mean, even though those things were there. See, that's why, you know, there can be some things in a Christian's life that maybe you just don't think is right, but yet his heart can still be perfect to God. You know, well, he didn't live the way I do or have the standards I have. Well, so what? God looks on the heart. And his heart may be perfect with God. Because God didn't tell him to do what he told you to do. Or God's not going to impose your standards upon him. Amen. Glory. Ain't that good preaching? That'd be a happy time at the camp meeting preaching that one, wouldn't we? Amen. Okay, well anyway, I'm just saying that Asa's heart was perfect. And he wasn't trying, you know, God didn't try to, well, you know, God didn't like the high places, that's for sure. He's not going to put up with sin. But yet, the Bible says Asa's heart was still perfect with God. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And then verse 18 and 19, and he brought into the house of God the things that he had, that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and golden vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year, the reign of Asa. So let's see, he reigned 10 years and he had some problem. And he sought the Lord, delivered him, and then until the 35th year. So he had quite a peaceful reign. This man had quite a peaceful reign. He reigned 41 years. And here he dedicates some things. Now his father, which was Abijah, evidently had collected a few items together to dedicate. And then here Asa dedicates them to the temple. And then he had no more war. Now, the reason that he didn't have any more, or that he had this one war in his 35th year, which we'll get into next time, you'll find it in the next chapter, 2 Chronicles 16:1-9. He went to trust a man rather than God to deliver him from an enemy. And that's why he had war again. So, you know, just shows you that man never learns and man never continually follows God all the way. Any questions? Yeah.
When they say cut down an idol, does that mean like a tree or something like
that? Well, evidently it was wood because it burned it at the brook Kidron. So it was probably wood, a little wooden statue sitting up there, you know, and he chopped it down.
Talks about the gold, the silver things that his father did.